If you're feeling frustrated with your real estate marketing strategies falling flat, then you're not alone. You may be pouring a lot of time and effort into your branding and copywriting only to find that your online presence isn't resonating with potential clients. Even despite your best efforts, your messaging might be failing to build trust and connect emotionally with your audience. When we're talking about trust and connection emotionally, we're talking about understanding what your brand is and then how do you best build that trust. My guest this week, Chaya Glatt, brings a wealth of expertise in branding and copywriting. And we have an interesting discussion around, you know, what is a brand and then how do you best build the trust for that brand with your ideal target audience. So I think you're going to find the content very helpful in terms of establishing what your brand is, differentiating yourself, and then how do you build trust for that brand. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Estate Investor Content Marketing Podcast, where we help you build a private following of investors to finance your next real estate investment project. We're here to show you how to create content that people can't ignore and that turns your real estate investing business into a standout success. In each episode, we'll explore the secrets of content marketing for real estate investors. We'll chat with smart people, give you useful tips, and share success stories from others who've mastered content marketing in their real estate investing businesses. We'll cover topics like writing articles, blog posts, ebooks, video, podcasts, email, marketing, online education, social media, graphics and images, and of course, AI. If it's content, we'll have the experts and the insights you'll need. Whether you're learning to tell compelling stories, figuring out social media, or growing your real estate investing business through content, you're in the right place. And now, on with the show. Chaya, thank you for joining us today. Going to have an interesting conversation, I think, around branding and copywriting. And I'm sure at some point we'll be talking about AI, but let's kick off, first of all, why brand? Why is it important for somebody to spend the time and the energy worrying about their brand?
Okay, so that's a fair question. And especially when it comes to real estate, a lot of people kind of stumble into it. And they can do really well, really quickly in some situations, and they never take the time to think about building a brand. Whereas in other industries, you can't even start thinking about selling or marketing your product if you don't have a strong brand behind it. So the way that I like to explain what a brand is, it's the feeling that people get as soon as they get in touch with your business, your company, or if you're a personal brand, with you, right? So we've all had the experience where we went to, you know, we heard something interesting, we heard maybe a commercial, we went to check out the website and we were like, oh, not for me. Because something, right? Something made us say like, oh, you know, kind of that moment of like being completely turned off where you had thought this might be interesting. And then something happened that made you realize this is not a fit for me. And very often, especially when it comes to websites, right? The website visitor doesn't even know what it is that's making them say, not for me. But it's something that they saw. So for example, you're trying to attract investors, right? And then an investor comes to your website and it looks like it was made, you know, 25 years ago. There's like HTML stuff all over the place. You know, there's like a big gray block on the side and like tiny print with the about, and it's like five paragraphs all in tiny, and nobody's reading that. And they're like, okay, like I thought this was going to be interesting, but now these people don't even look like a professional outfit. They haven't put in the effort to show up. They're not showing up for me, so why would I want to show up for them? So when you're building a brand, you are putting in the effort to show up for your audience, to show them that wherever you meet me, whether it's online or in a little business card that I hand you or in a brochure that I give you at an expo, I put in the effort to show up for you as a professional. And you can expect that from me from this moment onward. You can expect me to show up as a professional. That's what a brand is.
Right. And I love your definition, because a common definition that we see out about brand is your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Right.
But if they don't even know you yet, and the first impression is the online presence, be that the website, the social media, I mean, it might be a networking opportunity or it might be a business card, but that may not even have happened.
Right. They're not going to say anything about you when you're not in the room if they left the room. So, yeah, absolutely. Right. That first impression is really important. You only have a fraction of time to make that impression.
And what I'm hearing from you as well is consistency. Everything that you do, every touch point that anybody has with you has to have the same look, feel. How important is that kind of design message? I know copywriting is a big area that you focus in. So tell us a little bit more about kind of the important things people need to think about around copywriting.
Okay. So there's a lot of different things I can talk about, but let's just start with the process, right? When you are working with a client, with an investor, with a potential buyer, with a potential partner, with anybody who interacts with your brand. So you're going to think of yourselves, your company as a brand from this moment forward. What kind of experience are they going to have, right? So I've seen professionals who are dealing with millions of dollars in deals and they're sending texts full of typo and, you know, kind of like shorthand, lowercase I, right? So again, are you showing up as a professional when you do that? Are you earning trust when you do that? Is the person who is receiving this message going to say, this is clearly somebody who is invested in me as a partner, as a potential collaborator? Or they can be like, well, like, okay, this guy just dashed up a message, clearly didn't even think about it, right? So think about your process, right? And there are letters, documents, questionnaires, all the things that you need to do in your work, and you do them on repeat, like all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Rand those touch points, make them all consistent, make them all professional. Make me feel every time I hear from you, oh yes, this is somebody I trust. This is a professional outfit. They've got their act together. They do the emails the same way every single time. Instead of sending me 100 questions in an email, they will send me a questionnaire that I can fill out in a form, right? Professionalize your process so people get, again, that feeling that you're invested in them. You're here to show up as a professional. I think that the process part is such an important piece of your brand because after they meet you, right, the initial time, and now they're working with you, you want to maintain that. You want to be consistent and just keep on showing up in that professional, predictable, reliable, and trustworthy way.
Right. And you said about the fact, in a lot of cases, we're talking millions and millions of dollars. So it's not like you're going to get an answer. Or somebody, I mean, you may, great if it happens, but the chances are you've got to spend some real time building that trust, building that comfort that people are going to have with you and your brand.
Exactly. It's a process. Right. It's usually not something that happens overnight. Right. So as you're nurturing whoever it is that you're trying to bring into your circle, then you want to make sure you maintain that consistency. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think if you look at the brands we all know and love, that's exactly what they've done with us, isn't it? They've built that trust, feeling of comfort over time. I mean, I'm just thinking now of Apple. I didn't used to be an Apple user, but eventually I tried it. And then you get into that whole environment that makes you feel great about being an Apple user.
Right.
And then it's incredibly hard to get away from it, isn't it? That's the other thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Some trust will do for you.
Right. That's really the power of an iconic brand. People get to know you. They become attached emotionally. One question that I like to ask founders and entrepreneurs in order to establish a baseline of like, do you have a brand or not? Right. Is what could you do that would surprise your audience? Right. So for example, if I send out an email full of typos to my audience, they would be shocked because what they've come to expect from me is high-level writing, professionalism. And if I sent them an email full of typos, they would be surprised, right? If Apple made a gadget that didn't work or was difficult to use, we would be shocked. It would be the end of the world. That would be like front page news for months, right? Because if you have a brand, then people expect something from you. And every brand creates a different expectation around their brand. So Apple has created this dream state usability expectation, and anything less is horrific.
They can't.
So as a brand, as a founder who has this vision of building a brand, you kind of need to ask yourself, what do I want my audience to expect from me, and what should shock them?
I love that. And I'm just thinking of Apple again, the small little things that Apple does. I say small, I'm sure they invest millions in their packaging. But when you get an Apple product, it's a whole experience.
Right.
To unveil that product, even before you get your hands on the product, the box and the pulling the little tabs and everything, every little thing that they've thought of. I saw it on LinkedIn just today. There was a real estate investor that goes to their build site. So they're renovating or whatever. And once a week, they go around and they sweep the whole building site, like inside the house and everything. Like, they pick up every piece of dust and scrap of wood and everything. And I thought, well, why are they doing that? And then there was two reasons. One is, it gives them the opportunity to have a look around the site and make sure that the contractors are doing everything they said they were going to do, which I thought, well, that's smart.
Yes.
But the second one is, if the owner or the investor ever comes along to check on how things are going, the job site's going to look great. And then you do the small things that people don't worry so much about the big things. Well, look, of course, they've taken care of the roof or whatever because they did this. So that was the other reason that they did it, which I thought was really kind of
brilliant. Sort of,
probably something that you would say, yes, that's the kind of thing you want to surprise people.
Exactly. Exactly. And what you mentioned about Apple and the unboxing experience, how there's so much intention that went into that, like building in layers of unwrapping there. So it's not just you open the box and there it is. It's there are layers, and the more layers there are, the more important you feel this product is. And it's really something that every brand can create for their customers or their clients. Just takes a little extra thought. Like, what can I do to make my customer feel a little more special and cared about at any given point in the process? And that's just another opportunity to help build that emotional connection.
Right. And you mentioned about trust. What other things should a real estate professional or business owner be thinking about when it comes to building trust?
Okay. So, real estate is that industry where trust is the number one driving force behind decisions. That's really true in every purchase. It's especially true in B2B businesses. But real estate is that industry where, you know, creatives and designers and copywriters like to be very creative. They like to infuse something different into every project. Like, let's do a fresh, colorful logo. Real estate is not the place for that. And I train marketers and I tell them, you know, if you're dealing with a real estate brand, it's probably time to tamp down your creativity a little bit. This is an industry where it's all about stability. It's all about trust. Sometimes being boring is a bigger asset than being interesting, because people like to know exactly what is to be expected. A lot of predictability. So you want to emphasize that. And now I went off on a tangent. I don't even remember what the question was.
We were talking about building more trust, but I think you're touching on that. And
okay. How to build trust with the guest. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to what I was saying, for design is an important part of building trust. Making sure that you're using the right colors and the right sort of images that evoke a sense of being modern, being with the times, being evolving. And that doesn't mean saying we are a cutting edge company, right? Please stop saying that. Way too cliche and overused. Nobody even knows what that means. What does that mean that you're a cutting edge company? but your colors should be muted. It should be on brand for real estate brands. So do a Google search, right? Look at real estate logos, okay, in Google Images. Right? You will see a lot of similarity, a lot of the same colors and shapes and themes being repeated. You probably want to look like one of those kind of brands, a little different because you want to have your own identity, but look like you fit into the family of brands. Don't look like a pediatrician company when you are a real estate company. I know that this should go without saying, but I've seen from experience, doesn't always go without saying. So the look, right? You want to dress for the part. When you show up, you want to look like a real estate brand. And then the other piece, which is my area of expertise, is your messaging. So your messaging needs to build that trust by showing rather than just telling your customer or your prospective partner, investor, whoever it is that you're talking to, employee, right? All the different targets that you have, show rather than tell. Right. What a fantastic partner you are to work with. And the way to do that is with social proof.
So you mean things like testimonials, case studies, that kind of thing?
Exactly. And there are so many different kinds of social proof, and a lot of them are underutilized. So a testimonial is just one kind of social proof. And it's underutilized because what companies tend to do is lump all their testimonials, sign up in the bottom of the website, and they're long and wordy, hard to read, don't have a name attached to them. So you're like, is this a real person or do these guys just make up this testimonial? So you want to leverage those testimonials to their fullest power. And the way to do that is keep them short. Just pull out the two or three really compelling sentences that the customer said, right? So if they talk for 10 minutes about how what great customer service you have and the quick turnaround time, and the amount of money that they saved, and how friendly, and how you were answering their phone calls at every hour of the day and night. All these wonderful things about you. Pick out three sentences that your target audience really cares about right now. So if the money saved is the biggest pain point in this industry, then just focus the full quote on the money that your customer saved. And that's how you're really using the testimonial to achieve your goals rather than, you know, let's check off the box. We put a testimonial on the website, done, right? Well, what is it doing for you? You want to make sure that it's doing something for you, overcoming somebody's objections or bringing them closer to the objective of your website. And so you'll use those testimonials that way. And there's a lot of other kinds of social proof as well.
Yeah, you were saying there's some other underutilized ones, but can you give us some examples? What else?
Yes, for sure. So aside from testimonials, you could also have a trusted buy section where if you're a B2B, you're putting the logos of all the brands that have trusted you, that have worked with you. You can make them scroll across the screen. So you have a lot of them, and that's always very impressive. Stats, right? So square feet, dollars in revenue, dollars invested, pulling together some impressive stats is another form of social proof, and you can layer it all into the page. So you have so many different forms of social proof on the page that it becomes impossible to be skeptical about. Like as your reader is scrolling down the page, they just keep seeing more proof. Another great form of social proof is if you've got investments all over the map, have them and have those pins showing where all your properties are. Let people see with their own eyes rather than being told that you have many properties. So all of these things, when they're used together, erase skepticism. So as I, your reader, am scrolling down the page and I see a targeted testimonial, I see all this impressive stats, I see all the brands that have worked with you, I see a map of all the properties, I'm like, okay, these guys are the real deal. I have no doubt about it whatsoever.
I love the map idea. And it's funny, you mentioned that dollars and the percentages. When I was in recruitment years and years ago, we always said with resumes, you need the eye candy are the percentages and the dollars, because it's, you know, how much did you generate revenue, or what did you save for the company percentage, or so similar thing, but thinking about it from a business perspective versus a career perspective. So yeah, spot on. You talk about on your website, the MAD formula. Tell us a little bit about what is a MAD brand? Or
sure. So the MAD formula is how we figure out what your message needs to be, right? Because often founders are very close to their business. And when I ask them questions like, okay, what's unique that you're bringing to the market? Why should a customer want to work with you? What's that big idea that we need to communicate to your customer as soon as they land on your page? They often can't answer that question, or they can't answer it accurately, right? So we're humans. We are emotional, and we're very emotionally invested in our businesses. And often what we think is our brand's superpower is not necessarily what the customer is saying. So for example, if you manufacture belts, right? And you've invested hours and hours of time into making this a high quality product. When I ask you what's unique about your belts, you're going to say they're really high quality belts. If I asked your customer what's unique about their belts, they're going to say, well, I used to buy a new one every 2 months, and now I've had this one for 2 years. Okay. It's the same story, but in the voice of the customer, it comes out completely different. So that's why we have the MAD formula, which stands for Market, Audience, DNA. And that is a research process, which I take my clients through in order to figure out what exactly their message should be. So the market is the competitive analysis. We look at what other brands in the market are doing, how they're positioning, what their messaging is, what kind of social proof they're using or not using. We kind of find those opportunities where we want to fit in with what the industry is doing, or here's an opportunity where we can stand out from what the industry is doing. And then there's the audience, the A, right? That's what your customers are saying. So what's keeping them awake at night? What's stopping them from making decisions? What's compelling them to make decisions? I will talk to my client and interview them and ask them targeted question. And if they tell me that they're happy with their belts, I'll say, why? What makes you say that? And we get those juicy, rich, meaty details in the voice of the customer. And that's the biggest contribution to the client's messaging. And then the D part is the brand DNA. So from an inside look at the brand, what they're doing uniquely, what, you know, core strengths this team has that we want to make sure to be paid to make sure it is a big part of the brand. So all those pieces together, the MAD formula, you really need all of them to help to shape the message of how we're going to position this brand.
What do you do in the situation where the personal brand, like say a real estate brokerage? Well, it's funny because you've kind of almost got three brands competing, because you'll have the overall general brand, like a Remax or something, but then there's often a team brand or an office brand or a brokerage brand. But then quite often there's usually one kind of key player who's maybe the founder, the original founder of the team or the head of the team, and that they have a brand. How do you kind of juggle and manage messaging and around three brands under one?
Right. So it can be complex, but the way that I would look at it is the realtor has a personal brand, right? That's their personality, their way of doing things, their unique strengths, all the things that make them attractive to somebody who needs a realtor, right? And the company that they work for, the brokerage, is almost serving the role of social proof for their personal brand, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. So if you, Paul, are a realtor and you are very friendly and outgoing and easy to talk to and helpful, and home buyers really like that, they are choosing to work with you, Paul, and they trust you in a deeper way because of your brokerage, which is standing behind you. And I think that good brokerages know that and understand it, and they give their realtors the tools to invest in their own brands and to get out there, to meet people, to project what those strengths are. And they have a little more freedom and leeway, and they're able to achieve so much more that way.
Right. Right. And then you've got the Remax. I can understand, because they spend a lot of money putting their brand forward. So, and again, that's the kind of even bigger social proof, isn't it, from a national or international perspective. So, yeah. Okay. And so, Kaya, we can't have a conversation nowadays about, well, anything, I think, not just marketing, without talking about AI. What are your kind of takes on AI? What are you seeing happening? How are you seeing it as being a benefit? How are you seeing it as being perhaps a challenge as well?
Okay. Well, yes, it's true. We always have to go down the AI rabbit hole.
I don't think you could have a meeting, an online meeting now, without some piece of AI also being there as well, which is always interesting.
Exactly. Well, you know, sometimes I'm in a meeting and nobody has arrived yet except everybody's robots. We'll have like 5 robots in the room and no humans. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to talk to everybody's robots now. So AI challenges and tools. AI is a tool. I really don't see it necessarily as a challenge. I guess the only challenge would be learning to use it properly and not using it in the wrong way. So I recently actually spoke to somebody who told me, he was talking to me about a copywriting project. He said to me, I just want you to know that I took every website that you've ever written, Kaya, and I fed it to AI and asked it to come up with something similar. And I said, wow, how very flattering. What happened? How were the results?
Right.
And I'm not too great.
Right.
Right. So you can't really expect AI to do what a human can do, but AI can help a human do what the human will do. So there are tools that are AI that I use. I like perplexity.ai for research. It is better than ChatGPT because it gives you the original source, whereas ChatGPT can sometimes make stuff up. You never really know if it's giving you the truth. But Perplexity, you know, if you say, you know, please give me a list of pain points for commercial playground equipment buyers, it will give you a list of things that they find difficult, and then it will annotate. So you could click through to see the original sources. So that's something that I've used that I like. But you cannot just say, hey, ChatGPT, write a landing page that will convince people to use me as their broker. It will not do a very good job, and it will sound like a robot.
Right. Yeah, I had a client who used chat for, you know, classic kind of blog article. It was the 5 best places to eat in X town. And they were trying to basically keyword as a realtor to get, you know, a particular ranking for that town. 3 of the restaurants had closed. they'd already closed down pre-COVID or during COVID. So, you know, useless piece. Because then goes back to what we started with, which is around building trust. So if I go to that realtor's website and I read that article, and then I find out the 3 restaurants they've recommended are all closed, then I'm going to feel a lot less trustworthy of that realtor than not.
Listing any kind of inaccurate information is a trust killer. Absolutely.
What, maybe just a final question, what are the mistakes that you see people make when it comes to messaging? What are the kind of things that people should watch out for or definitely not do? You know, what are the absolute no's?
Okay. One big absolute no is using these vague superlatives to describe your brand. We are the industry leading brokerage. We are the number one, I don't know, whatever you want to say. Really? Who made you number one? Like, number one, according to who? You?
Your mother. Yes.
Exactly. That's right. You nailed it. That is what people are thinking when you say you are the number one. Right. So just if you find yourself saying things like that, or you see that you are saying things like that on your website or any of your marketing materials, scrap that piece and replace it with something specific that talks to a real benefit to your customer. So instead of telling them that you are number one, why don't you actually conduct a survey among your clients and have them rate you for three or four specific qualities like responsiveness, professionalism, attention to detail, whatever it is that you think people really care about. And then use those responses and have a real stat to qualify who you are. So rated highly professional by 97% of our clients. That is interesting and believable. It speaks to me because I want to work with a highly professional company or individual. Whereas your number one is just like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I had a real estate client that put on events and they always use the net promoter score after, you know, the question, would you recommend our events to your friends or colleagues or something? And then they would use that as the, you know, our events are rated, you know, X percentage of net promoter score without saying net promoter score. Yeah.
Right. I love that. 10 times more credible than saying you're an industry leader or any of those other big statements.
Right. So Kaya, how can people find out more about you?
So you can always check me out online. It's kayaglatt.com, C-H-A-Y-A-G-L-A-T-T. I also have some handy dandy resources and trainings that anyone can download for free. They're specifically for freelancers, entrepreneurs, creative agencies, anybody in the marketing space, or anybody who's doing their own marketing. Okay. So you can get those from the link, which will be in the description. And it's an ebook on 15 brands to love, loathe, and learn from. So you'll see 15 really cool case studies of some brands and how they are creating an emotional connection with their audience, all different industries. There's a free ebook on effective copywriting. There is a video series on how to get paid to think. So if you are a marketer and you want to start being a strategist, this video series will help you. And one more free resource in there is a masterclass for designers on how to build design that's strategic and works within a brand strategy to help your client achieve their goals.
Okay, wonderful. Excellent. We will definitely make sure all of that is in the show notes. And Kaya, thank you very much for taking the time today and have yourself a brandtastic day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I like that. Brandtastic.
Thank
Thanks
you.
A lot.
Thank you.